I want to look at a lesson this morning that I'm going to call the seven deadly apostasies. The time of the book of Judges was a really dark chapter in the story of the people of Israel. This story of the judges covers 450 years. There were 15 judges during that time. But most importantly, there were seven times when the people of God turned away from the Lord. And what we find is the same pattern every time. We find that the people are serving God, and then they leave the Lord to worship other gods. Then God will punish them, usually by allowing their enemies to conquer them and enslave them. Then the people cry out to God. God sends them a deliverer or a judge. Remember, when you see the word judge in this book, don't think in terms of a circuit court judge or a Supreme Court judge. Think of the word judge in the sense of somebody that was a deliverer, a vindicator. He is a man that vindicated them, and it was more of a military leader most of the time than you would think of in the sense of a judicial official. But anyway, the people would cry out to God for mercy. God would send a judge to deliver them, and the judge then would redeem the people, so that they were not in bondage anymore to these foreign nations. And sometimes they would have rest for years at a time. Sometimes as much as 80 years that would go on, the rest period would. And then they would fall right back into the same old problem. And then the cycle would repeat itself. Now I want you to open your Bible to the book of Judges. And what we're going to do is to look at these seven apostasies real briefly for the first few minutes of our lesson this morning, and then we're going to come back and we're going to look at three or four lessons that we can learn from these seven deadly apostasies. The first one is in Judges chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, and I want you to notice in verse 5, "And the children of Israel dwelt among the Canaanites, Hittites, and Amorites, and Perizzites, and Hivites, and Jebusites. And they took their daughters to be their wives, and gave their daughters to be their sons, and served their God." Now, God had plainly told them not to intermarry with these people. He had specifically warned them against this. But here, they're doing it anyway. And eventually, the Bible says in verse 6, of course, they served their gods. So the first apostasy is in verse 7. "And the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord." They've fallen away from him now. They have left the Lord. So the Bible says that they were delivered into the hands of their enemies, served their enemies for 8 years. And when I say serve their enemies, those foreign nations made life very hard on the Israelite people. So hard for 8 years that they cried out to God and asked God to do something about this. God raised up the first judge. His name is in verse 9, Othniel. Othniel was the first judge, and the Bible says in verse 11, "And the land had rest 40 years. Now things are better. Now they've returned to God, and for 40 years they have peace. But then something happened. In the last part of verse 11, Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. And what happens next in verse 12? We'll look at it. It's the same old story. In verse 12, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord." And so the pattern is repeating itself here. And in chapter 3, what we find is that God raises up a left-handed judge by the name of Ehud. And the Bible had shown us that it's Moab that has oppressed the people of Israel for all this time. This left-handed judge, Ehud, got him a long dagger. He put it on his right thigh underneath his garment. Went in to talk to the king of Moab, and he pulled that dagger out and stuck it into him. The Bible says that the land had rest then. In verse 30 of Judges chapter 3, for 80 years this time. This time there is peace for 80 long years. God raised up another judge by the name of Shamgar. But then in chapter 4, verse 1, we come to the third apostasy. Chapter 4, verse 1, "And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of the Lord." This is The third time, already in this book, when these people have fallen away, God raises up a judge, this time a woman judge, by the name of Deborah, who was also a prophetess. So she was a leader in Israel. And in chapter 4 and in chapter 5, we read about her leading the people of Israel along with Barak, and she delivered them from their enemies. Well, the Bible says in the last part of chapter 5, verse 31, the last sentence says, the land had rest 40 years. 40 years of peace is long for any nation to enjoy. And here they enjoyed that great rest. But in chapter 6, verse 1, we come to the fourth great apostasy. Chapter 6, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil in the sight of the Lord. We see the same thing happening over and over again. As long as the judge is alive, the people are faithful. As soon as the judge dies, they go right back to what they were doing. So this time God raises up another judge. His name is Gideon. Gideon leads the Israelite people to conquer, to defeat the Midianites. You read about that in chapter 6, in chapter 7, and in chapter 8. So let's turn to chapter 8 and look at verse 33 and 34. Because here we come to the fifth great apostasy. Judges 8, verse 33 and 34. And it came to pass as soon as Gideon was dead, that the children of Israel turned again and went a-whoring after Balaam and made Baal-berith their god. And the children of Israel, verse 34, remembered not the Lord their God, who had delivered them out of the hands of all their enemies on every side. Well, then you read about the sad story of Abimelech in chapter 9, and then coming to chapter 10. Chapter 10, we come to the next great apostasy. This is apostasy number 6, Judges chapter 10. We have several lesser-known judges here like Tola and Jair. But in verse 6 of Judges 10, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and served Balaam and Ashtaroth, the gods of the Zidonians, the gods of Zidon, the gods of Moab, the gods of Ammon, the gods of the Philistines. They forsook the Lord and served him not. They were oppressed by the Philistines and the Ammonites for 18 years this time. And again, what do they do when they're in trouble? They cry out to God, Lord, deliver us. We're in trouble. We're hurting. We're in pain. Do something about this. This time, the Lord tests them at first. This time, the Lord says, why don't you go and cry to the gods that you've been worshiping? Why don't you go call out to them for help? You read that especially down in verse 14. Go and cry unto the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. But they kept asking God, and they kept praying to him. And God's heart was touched. And the Bible says that then they received another deliverer. His name was Jephthah. And what a military leader, what a fighter he was. We read about him in Judges 11 and in some of Judges 12. Now let's go to Judges chapter 13. This is the seventh and the last major apostasy that we're going to look at this morning that we read about in this book. Judges 13 and verse 1. Now these other judges have died, Jephthah and several others after him, three more after him. And in Judges 13, verse 1, and the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. This time, it's the Philistines. One of the enemies of God, so many times in the Bible. These people that battled against the Israelites on so many occasions in the scriptures, now they have conquered the Israelite people, and they oppressed them for 40 long years, Judges 13 and verse 1. And this time, God raises up that man that we mentioned at the very beginning today. He raises up a judge that we read about in this book, perhaps more than anybody else, one of the most well-known figures in the Old Testament, and that was Samson. You read about him in chapter 13 and 14 and 15 and 16. And from this point on, we read about recurring battles between the Israelite people and the Philistine people. I want you to look at two verses with me in the book of Judges, and then we're going to talk about some lessons that we can learn from these apostasies. Chapter 17 and verse 6. Chapter 17, verse 6. In those days there was no king in Israel, but every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, chapter 21, verse 25, the last verse. Just go to the very end of this book. In those days there was no king in Israel. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Now, this is the tragic story of the judges. And what can we learn from the mistakes that we've seen in this book happening time and time again? In the first place, we can see the danger of mixing with the wrong people. We can see the danger of getting too close to the wrong people. Did you notice that God, of course, had warned them not to intermarry with these people, but they did it anyway? Did you notice that they start getting closer and closer to these people, especially through these marriages, and then they begin to compromise, then they begin to condone, and they begin to change themselves? It's an interesting thing. God said to these people, don't give your sons and your daughters to these people. Don't intermarry with these people, because they will surely turn you away from the Lord your God. Now, these Israelite people then, evidently, living in this area, and having not driven out all of these Canaanite people, live somewhat side by side with them. They knew that there was only one God, the Israelites did. They knew that the gods of these Canaanites were false, that they were nothing. You say, well, how could it happen then? I mean, how could it take place that people that know better could get sucked into a situation like that and begin to serve other gods? Well, it happened gradually. It happened just like it does when you've got Christian people today that give up their stand and begin to go in the wrong direction. They become perhaps friends with certain people. And before long, they begin to question what they know. They begin to say, well, I know that he's not a Christian. I know that she's not a Christian according to the Bible. But I sure do like him. I sure do like her. And they're such good people. And eventually they start liking them more and more. And they get to the point to where they begin to water down the Bible. They begin to push back the Bible so that they can say that this person is a good person and this person is all right. And eventually, some of them even give up the Bible. They give up the Word of God in order to maintain that friendship and in order to get close to this individual. And some of that happened through their children. Some of that happened because their children evidently wanted to intermarry, or maybe the parents wanted them to intermarry with these people, or it could have been both. But if you had situations where the children wanted to marry some of these Canaanite people, let's say here is an Israelite young lady, and she sees a young man that she wants to marry, but he's a Canaanite. Or here you have an Israelite young man, and he sees a pretty Canaanite woman over here, and he wants to marry her. Now, what was the duty of the parents in that situation? What should the parents have told that young man? They should have told him, no, we will not go along with this. We will not participate in this. We will not condone you doing that, because that is against the law of God. The law of God in the Old Testament said that an Israelite was not to marry any of these Canaanite people. But they gave in. Either the young men and young women, the sons and the daughters, or the parents, or both, gave in. And if it was the parents that gave in to the children, you think about how common that is today. It is all too common. Instead of the parents telling the children what to do, the children tell the parents what to do. And that happens in the church, I've noticed. You will have the children telling the parents what to do. It ought to be the parents that give instruction and give leadership to the children. The parents ought to be the ones who say, we're going to Bible class today. We're going to worship tonight. We're the ones who have been put in charge of making these decisions. And it is an unnatural thing, and it is a dangerous thing, and it is a wrong thing for the children to say, well, I don't want to go. I want to do this, and I want to do that. That's why God put parents in charge of raising children, to give them direction and to do what's best for them. And you see what happened here in the book of Judges? Because the children and because the parents would not stand their ground, the nation fell into apostasy. Now, second lesson. We see in this book that we reap what we sow. Whatever we sow, we reap. As long as they feared God, as long as they served God, they prospered, they lived in good times, and there were periods where that would take place for 40 years, sometimes 80 years long. They had it good. But eventually, somebody got tired of the routine. Sound familiar? Even though things are going well with them, even though they have everything that they need, and they're not in pain, they're not oppressed by their enemies, they're free, they've got their liberty, that's not enough for some people. It's not enough for some people to be free and for things to be well with them financially, to live in prosperous times. There are people that have to have something different, at least in their minds. And so there were some Israelites that started pushing the limits. They began taking chances. And they started looking for something new, something exciting. And is that not the perennial problem of mankind? Adam and Eve had a perfect home in the Garden of Eden. No problems, no pains, no sufferings, no death. Had a perfect life, a perfect home in the Garden of Eden. That wasn't good enough. We've got to try something else. We've got to have something different. And so the woman saw that the tree was good for food, pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, and she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. The one tree that God said not to eat of, she was going to have it. And as I said, so it is to this very day. Hell and destruction are never full, the Bible says, so the eyes of man are never satisfied. Proverbs chapter 27 and verse 25. Sometimes it is a strange thing in human beings that there are times when people do not like or they get tired of peace and quiet. They're not content with it, and so they have to have some kind of drama in their life. They have to have some kind of stir, some kind of rush, because, as we sometimes hear, well, I'm just bored. That's why teenagers get into trouble. That's why married couples sometimes get into trouble. It's because of the very thing that we're talking about. There are young people and there are married folk that go out and do something stupid, morally stupid. They do something that is wrong. Why? It's not because they really have a lot of problems at home. They have a good home. They're safe and secure at home. They actually live a pretty good lifestyle, a comfortable life. So why would you forsake that? Why would you even throw all that away just to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season? It doesn't make any sense, does it? And yet, this is the plight of mankind. The Israelites got tired of serving God and they decided to try a new way of life. I'm bored, someone says. Well, I'm just bored. Well, why not do something good with your time then? Why does it always have to be something bad? Why does it have to be something risky? If you're bored, then use your time to do something good, to do something constructive. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. And what we find in this book is that this principle applies to nations as well as individuals. Whatever a man sows, that shall he also reap. Whatever a country sows, it's going to reap. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Psalm 9, verse 17. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Proverbs 14 and verse 34. God punishes nations for their sins, and in this book we find it time and again. And most often, in the Old Testament especially, when God punished a nation, it was by putting evil men at the top of power and allowing those evil men to oppress even God's people, because God's people had sinned in his sight. That ought to be a sobering thought for all of us to consider. But the Bible teaches this many, many times. Seven times the Israelites fell away. Seven times they suffered for it. But each time, after a little while, they just forgot. One of the lessons that we ought to come away with from the book of Judges is the folly of every man doing what is right according to his thinking. That's what the book ends with. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. That was the root of the problem here. Everybody was doing his own thing. Everybody was doing what he thought was best and what he thought was right. That summarizes the whole book. And what did that kind of thinking lead to? It led to war with other nations. It led to a terrible civil war that we read about in Judges 19 and 20 and part of 21. It led to sexual immorality. It led to rape, an awful mutilation that we read about in the section that I just mentioned. It led to idolatry. It led to deception. It led to greed. It led to apostasy away from God. When every man does what's right in his own eyes, it leads to chaos. This philosophy cannot work. Anarchy only leads to ruin. It leads to ruin in a home. It leads to ruin in a workplace. It leads to ruin in a community. And it leads to ruin in a nation. There's no way that everybody can have his own way. There's no way that everybody can do what he thinks is best and what he thinks is right. That cannot work. And yet that is what is prescribed for us today by many people. Well, I believe that every man ought to decide what he thinks is right or wrong. I think that it's up to the individual to make up his mind about what religion is or is not, or whether there is a religion, and exactly what is morally right and what is morally wrong. Well, that just depends on how you feel about it. That depends on what you think about it. And so you see it your way, I'll see it my way, and we'll both be okay. Besides being unworkable, that cannot work. I mean, a society cannot exist with that kind of anarchy. Because you got one fellow over here that says, well, I think that it's right for me to take this person's life. And you got others that say, well, you don't have that right. You got one person that says, well, I think that it's okay for me to lie in this situation. And everybody else says, well, you can't do that. We have to have laws that recognize that lying is wrong to some extent, perjury and so forth, fraud. That's all built on the principle that we read in the Bible against lying. Not only can it not work, but what I find that is extremely hypocritical about people today is that there are high-ranking, highly educated people in this country who tell us that this is the way that it ought to be. Every man should choose for himself what is right and what is wrong. Every man should come up with his own system of morality, and they don't mean a word of it. They don't mean that. These people that tell you, these people that argue, well, I believe and I think that every man ought to make up his own mind, every man ought to have his own system of morality. They don't mean that. What they really mean, after you talk to them long enough and you listen to them carefully enough, what they really mean is that you ought to agree with them. Because they do not tolerate certain points of view, especially biblical morals. When they say, do what is right in your eyes, what they really mean is, you do what is right in my eyes. Especially if I have the power and the influence to make it so. The book of Judges is a permanent warning about the consequences of self-made morals. And in actuality, it's history repeating itself to this very day. And we're finding it as we speak. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, the Bible says, O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps. It's not in you. It's not in any of us. We need guidance. We need direction from heaven about what is right and what is wrong. In Isaiah 55 and verse 8, my ways are not your ways, neither are your thoughts my thoughts, saith the Lord. They're not the same. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 16 and verse 25, there is a way that seems right to a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. It may seem right, and you may want it to be so, A person may wish and dream and hope and desire for something to be a certain way, but that doesn't make it right. It doesn't make it so, and the word of the Lord will endure forever. Fourth and finally, a lesson that we also see in the book of Judges that I want to make sure that we emphasize this morning that I probably have not noticed or emphasized as much as I should. We also see in the book of Judges the mercy of God. You think about these people turning their back on God and betraying Him time after time after time, and yet what does God do? He raises up a judge. He delivers them. He has mercy. He hears their cry. He hears their prayer, and He gives them a judge. And when we look at our world today, I know that there are evil things going on. I know that sometimes we get disgusted and we get scared to death about the future of this country when we look at the moral state that this country is in. But look at the book of Judges. You read this book. Don't just take my summary for it this morning. But you read this book of Judges, and you compare it to what we see today, and you tell me, are we any worse than they are? In many ways, we're not as bad. And yet God had mercy. Time and again, He gave them an opportunity to repent, gave them an opportunity to set things straight with Him. He spared them time and again when they had committed these abominations. That reminds me that God did the same when the people were in the wilderness. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He away His anger and did not stir up all His wrath. Psalm 78, verse 38. And we want to pray in our lives that God will show us mercy in this land that we live in for the sake of the righteous. Remember, the Bible says to pray for rulers. And the Bible also says that the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. So pray for this land. Pray for our rulers. Pray that we will not have to face the situation that we see happening time and again to the Israelite people in the book of Judges. And be prepared, let come what may, in our lives. It's only by the grace of God that any of us can be saved. And that mercy and grace of God is a wonderful, it's an absolutely remarkable thing that though we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. How many of us have even begun to get a handle on that? How many of us have even begun to think about that enough, to appreciate it like we should? That we were sinners, God didn't owe it to us, and yet He offers us salvation. If you're not a child of God this morning, I hope that touches you. I hope that moves you. I hope that causes you to appreciate it so much that you'll say, if He did that for me, it's a small thing for me to give my life to Him and to be baptized this very day.